Did somebody say weeaboots? Because I think I just heard someone say weeaboots.
What's up, weebs? Welcome to Weeaboots, the only contemporary anime review podcast from Gigaboots.com. I am your host, Anime Dan May, and with me, as usual, is Bob
Kyber Crystals
from Gigaboots, KZ from KinoRawGoatSwag.com.
I have a bad feeling about this.
And Mr. Feel from Mr. Feel's Wild Ride.
Punch it, our duo.
We need your help, Toby Wan Kenobi.
I'm going to kill myself.
Welcome to Star Wars Visions episode of Weeaboots, where we talk about nine pitches for series that we got to watch as short films. When Feel said that months ago, I didn't realize how real it would feel in the moment.
Yeah, this is more so than any of these compilations that I've ever seen.
Yeah, the Animatrix didn't give me this feeling. The Batman thing didn't give me this feeling. But for some reason, this really felt like it.
One of them way more than others, I feel like.
I would say two. Two of them really felt like it.
One of them was embarrassing in how much it felt like it.
Yeah, that one basically went like the end of the Lumalin film where he desperately tries to pitch what you just watched as a TV series.
That's a great moment.
It's like, man, the Lumalin show on TBS.
Do it. All these... Dobo deserves a show more than Chicago Party Aunt.
You know what? Yeah, obviously.
Don't talk about that.
Obviously. Anyways, there are nine Star Wars Visions, two of which are made by Trigger, and two of which are made by Science Saru. Let's get into it, Bob. We're going to start with the first one, The Duel, made by Kamikaze Doga.
Ooh.
What's the deal with them? Do we know anything about the director on this or anything else?
Apparently, there aren't many credits to the director. It's Takanobu Mizuno.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, and he worked on Mega Man X8 and Command Mission anime movies.
I'm going to go.
I'm just going to leave.
That studio worked on Batman Ninja and the JoJo's opening, the UCG.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah, the first three.
Yeah. That makes a lot of sense, actually.
Yeah, I've seen clips of Batman Ninja, and that stuff looked pretty cool in terms of CG stuff.
I hear good things about it.
Yeah, and I really like those intros to JoJo's.
Yeah, those are fucking good.
Uh-huh, especially when you see what it actually looks like, and they're breaking the rigged arms.
it's almost like I wish they had done those for all of them, because I like them more than the traditionally animated ones.
Maybe when it comes back.
Yeah, maybe when it comes back. I'm like, is it going to release before this does?
Oh, no, maybe. We'll see.
God damn it.
Oh, man. Good job on dating this one, guys. Anyways. We do an episode of Weeaboots on the comeback of JoJo's and we lock the comment section.
Yes. Kill.
Yes. Kill.
So the first one is The Duel. We're going to go to KZ for a brief synopsis of the story. Very brief.
In Star Wars Visions, The Duel, a wandering samurai has a droid and saves a village from the Empire and a Sith with a Mary Poppins lightsaber umbrella.
Cool. That Mary Poppins lightsaber umbrella is fucking dope.
Yeah, it is.
That's why you open it, just to make people shit their pants at that.
Uh-huh. I appreciate them opening Star Wars Visions with that, because it's like, yeah, you're going to see a lot of shit you don't normally see in Star Wars here.
I was impressed when she shoved that through a dude using the part that didn't have a lightsaber, and then opened it. It's like, that guy's already dead.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed the part where she discards it to fight the samurai, because it's like, no, we can't. We can't. That's too hard.
Yes.
The moment she started spinning that fucking thing, I'm like, who do you think their favorite Star Wars character is? We should have, you know what, in the new trilogy, we should have gotten someone with the Mary Poppins umbrella. I feel like we should have gotten the lightsaber.
the first one of the new trilogy had that really cool thing where Kylo Ren stops a blaster bolt with his force powers.
Yes.
And nothing cool ever again.
Oh.
I was thinking about that multiple times watching this. Like, the only thing in all three of those sequel movies that stuck with anyone is Kylo Ren doing that.
That's not true, because they also slam a ship at light speed into another ship.
Yeah, which means we can now attach all of those things to these anime instead of those movies.
Which is hilarious.
So, my favorite thing when we were watching all of these last night is Dan going, Adam Driver's going to show up.
Adam Driver shows up. You know, I really would have appreciated Adam Driver showing up in The Elder. That would have brought that all the way to the top for me.
I don't want to talk about that until we have to talk about it.
Yeah, until we have to talk about it. We'll do broad strokes and then, you know, whatever. Specific anecdotes if you guys have it about thoughts you had while watching it. The Duel, as KZ described it, is as such. Visually speaking, we have 2D backgrounds a lot of the time with CG characters putting a grain over them as they talk and putting a film grain over the whole thing. It goes for a black and white or sepia style. And of course the lightsabers are colored and so is blood. It's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that short's really neat.
Yeah. I really did like this one. Like, some of the beginning of it was like, I was worried about the CG, but once the action started, it was like, Oh, this is really good.
Yeah. Like as soon as they start doing attacks on the village and stuff, I'm like, oh, this can move. This looks really nice. And the Kurosawa-esque look they gave it, like, really elevated beyond just normal CG look.
Yeah, a thing I like about a lot of these is because Star Wars is, like, inseparable from Japanese culture because two of the movies are just based on Kurosawa films explicitly.
Mm-hmm.
But I liked how it, like, took... I like how, like, the samurai in this does the barehanded blade catch to a lightsaber with the Force.
Yes.
That was intensely cool.
And that was one of the cooler moments in these, because it's like, oh, it's like this cool fusion. It's like, it's like, okay, George Lucas did okay, now let us do it.
See, the funny thing is, as you say that, I'm staring at Wikipedia, and their thumbnail image for The Duel is that moment.
Yeah, of course.
Reading the Wikipedia articles on these were really funny, because so many of them have, like, coat paragraphs of, we don't know when this takes place
I told KZ and Bob that would be happening. I'm like, somebody out there is sweating so profusely writing wiki entries because of the release of this.
Oh, yeah. That's just they're the incredibly hardcore Star Wars fans that are like, Visions is bad. It's way too Japanese and it's not canon.
There are enough confusing details where they try to work out where it is and they're losing their minds is how I read it.
Yeah, I think that they have an even harder time with the ones that are closer to normal. Like, the ones like this, where it's clearly, like, ancient Japan looking.
Mm-hmm.
I imagine that gets in their head, oh, well, I can just set this thousands of years before any real events.
Yeah, put it 1,000 years before KOTOR, because who cares? Apparently 1,000 years ain't shit in Star Wars.
Right. But what I was going to say about this short, I really like the idea of the... Sis who's going around hunting Sis and being a kind of like anti-hero.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's really neat, and I'm surprised we haven't seen that in any other media.
Yeah, that would have been an exciting basis for a new trilogy, I think.
Yeah.
That's like a thing that Lucas always vetoed, as far as I know, because Lucas was like very, very, always very like, no, like, if you use the dark side of the Force, it just makes you evil. There's no nuance.
And all evil guys do the same thing and think the same way.
Yes, you get into the mind network of evil.
Because I read his actual explanation once. And it was like, yeah, you're using the power of the universe for selfishly, so it just, like, makes you fucked up and super evil cartoonishly. I'm like, okay, George.
Thanks, George.
You can go to bed now.
Yeah. I still like your movies more than sequels.
I don't know what you're talking about. I did multiple times through this go, man, that would have been cool if that was the basis for The Force Awakens.
I forget which one of these it's in, but there's one of these where it just implies, like, yeah, anybody can become a Jedi if they, like, meditate and form, like, a connection with the Force. And I'm like,
That's a lot better than it being like a superpower you're born with.
Yeah, that was always the worst, absolute worst part of the prequels that ruined so much lore.
It's funny because the sequel seemed to lean into that too, where it's just like, well, yeah, she's descendant.
It's like, oh
yeah,
no.
Yeah, they don't say midichlorians, but they do like, oh, well, she's more powerful because she's related to this or.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, even in the original trilogy, it's like Luke is super strong in the Force because his dad is Darth Vader. It's like there's always this weird theme of like, yeah, if your dad was a Jedi, you're a super powerful Jedi.
Could you imagine the original trilogy, like sometime around episode six or something, fucking Obi-Wan's ghost comes back to just be like, Luke, my dad was also a Jedi, just saying that for no reason at all. Goodbye.
God.
It's just like Dragon Ball where it's like the kids can turn Super Saiyan easier.
Luke, you have a lot of J cells.
God, they should have called them J cells.
No, then it'd be ripping off Dragon Ball when Toriyama's like, yeah, so there's S cells.
One thing I really appreciate about the duel as an opener for Star Wars Visions is that he collects kyber crystals.
Yes.
And that's going to be an important theme. Yeah.
Keep those in mind for later.
No one talked to anybody when it came to making these. So maybe all of these have the exact same things in them.
I think the merchant in this one, or the guy who takes them in for a minute there.
Oh, yeah.
I think he's the one who says, I've got a bad feeling about this. I think that's who said it in this one. This is an important game to play. As it turns out. So we're going to do the thing we usually do on Weeaboots. We're going to see if people would recommend watching more of this series based on this pilot. Uh-huh. We didn't get to watch three full episodes this time. We just got this. Hey, Bob, would you watch more of this?
Definitely. I'd love to watch more of this. Maybe just the movie.
KZ?
Yes, because then they'd have to have an episode where there's a lightsaber scythe.
Ooh. Like Death Scythe?
Yes.
Oh, man. That'd be really cool. Mr. Feel.
Yeah, I'm with Bob where like I'd want like a Kurosawa-style movie of Star Wars where it's just like all this.
I thought this was pretty cool. I definitely would watch a series of this. It has a tone and an angle on it that I really strongly appreciate, which I feel like I need coming into Star Wars now. I feel like nowadays with Star Wars, I need a really good idea for a series to jump in.
Yeah.
And then this is where Casey goes, you're going to watch the Boba Fett series?
Yeah, it's got a really good idea. We're Boba Fett. What? Boba Fett walks around and fucking kills dudes directed by Robert Rodriguez.
I will watch anything with Boba Fett, even though I didn't think he was even that cool as a kid. Because it's really funny at this point.
Bob, they've spent the last year rehabilitating Boba Fett being cool, and I really appreciate all of it.
I really like how the next short we're going to talk about, Boba Fett shows up, and KZ goes, I'm going to need Boba Fett to not job in this animation. I'm like, man, that sentence is so much, considering you can chop it in half and still monumental task.
I know. I'm like, he's being rehabilitated. They even got Boba Fett's current actor, which is just the prequel guy.
Which is Django guy, right? Yeah,
which is just Django, to voice him even in this anime thing.
Yeah. But yeah, the second one, Tatooine Rhapsody.
Oh, before we go on, I should say I watched all these subbed because I was sure there would be at least one casting decision that made me roll on the floor, and I was right. And we'll talk about it when we get there.
Okay, my casting decision was Patrick Seitz is in, like, all of them.
Yeah, he's in all of them, and so is Kappa, Michael Center Claus. But Tatooine Rhapsody, we follow a band. Hey, Bob, you're going to do the brief synopsis for this one.
So it's got this cute art style, and it's about a Jedi kid who was chased down and had to leave the Jedi Order because, you know, Order whatever, they killed all the Jedi. Mm-hmm. And he's hiding out with this group of other kids who make a band. One of them's a Jabba descendant.
Yeah, it's a Hutt.
Yeah, he's a Hutt. It's pretty neat. The Hutt gets captured by the rest of the Hutt family because he's not partaking in the business.
Yeah,
and they have to do a musical performance to save him.
And you get to see all these characters in an almost chibi style.
Yes, it has a very nice art style. The music's not great, but I was okay with it, though.
It was kind of funny.
You know, it's the one time I was like, you know, if I watched this subbed, I could at least pretend the singing in this wasn't terrible. Because I wouldn't know what they're singing.
Does the singing sound...
it doesn't sound great. Like, I this was one of the ones... My main impression of this one was like, oh, this is one of the ones people are mad at. And then I almost zoned out for part of it.
Remember, these are 15-minute episodes.
I really like the part where, you know, halfway through we have the tragic moment when their hut is taken away from them. And the main character, Blue Hair, is very, very sad and crying out in the rain.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, you know, Jedi Fallen Order's happening 10 feet that way.
Yeah.
You can't see it, but I'm trapped behind a door right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
It would have been really funny to see anime. What was his name? Derek Lightsaber or something?
We kept calling him like...
It's fucking Cal Lightsaber.
Cal Lightsaber, yes. Because it's a Cal, and then no last name, and below it, Lightsaber. So Eric was like, I thought his name was Cal Lightsaber.
Cal Kestis, I think, is what his actual name is.
I think that's his actual name, if you're interested in that. I don't know. I like Cal Lightsaber. I feel like more fiction should name their people like that, because Kojima's very good.
Kojima even got it from Tomino.
Cal Forceman.
Cal Dickless.
That's a Dark Souls boss.
But yeah, Tatooine Rhapsody, I thought it was pretty neat. It's a definitely fresh perspective into Star Wars. And as they're performing at Hutt's Raceway, you know, that you see in episode one, I sit there and go, do you think episode one happens around now? And that's when I thought of the wiki writers losing their mind.
Well, no, of course. We actually have a pretty good timeline for this one.
Oh, okay.
Order 66 happens.
Oh, that happens?
Yeah, because that's the beginning of the short where he's hunted down by soldiers.
Mm-hmm.
So he goes into incognito mode.
Oh, okay.
is a musician.
See, I didn't immediately go, well, he's being hunted down by soldiers. This has to be the order. But yeah, you're right. If that's the case, then that puts it at a very firm time. Yeah.
Right. And there's nothing super weird in this one other than the hut being kind at all. But we don't know much about the hut. So, hey, that's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. You also got like Boba Fett directly working for Jabba.
Yep.
So that at least puts it in like the OT zone, at least.
I'm just sitting here and I'm like, now is this before or after he gets out of that fucking tremor?
What?
This is before, because he's killed. The Jabba would be dead if Boba was still in the hole.
It's been a hot minute since I watched the original trilogy, and I only did it once.
Oh, okay. I really need a gif of that part where they do the musical performance and Boba Fett starts head bopping. He's like, yeah, I like this song.
And then Jabba's like slapping his tail.
And he's like, I will not speak.
This one was all right. I would probably watch another couple episodes to see if they had an interesting angle to doing a full series out of this. As a short on its own, it's neat. It's cute. It's not the greatest thing. I don't think I would ever recommend someone watch it. Bob?
I would definitely watch more of it just because I want to see more noble Star Wars characters in the style. But that's almost the only reason.
Oh, my God.
Because every time I saw a new character I knew drawn like this, I freaked out a little bit. I was like, this is great.
Yeah. That one like right-hand man to Jabba that's like that weird tentacle man.
Yes.
And I'm like, oh my god, you're so small.
Yeah, it even has like the whatever the green people's the dancer version of the green person.
Yes.
Like I was like, there's no way you're gonna do this. Oh, you are.
KZ, would you?
Sure, I guess it's entirely like carried on like that art style and some of the animation, because otherwise I found this one to be pretty weak, but yeah, I could probably commit to a couple more just to see more dumb things drawn like this.
And Mr. Feel,
yeah, I'm with Bob and Casey. Like, I need tiny Luke Skywalker that's voiced by Mark Hamill still.
Yes.
like tiny, huge-headed Mark Hamill.
That is definitely the highlight here. Okay, I guess we're going to move on to the twins. Hey, Feel, can you give us a plot synopsis for the twins?
Okay, so there's these twins that were birthed by dark side magic, and they have two Star Destroyers that are bolted together and have a Death Star cannon on them. And the sister, who is like Satsuki but from Kill la Kill but blonde, is like, I have this big sick kyber crystal that's going to make me all powerful and the dark side will rule forever. And then she has to go meet her brother, who is Luke Skywalker, but he looks like Leo Fodia from Promare. He's like, I'm going to leave. I have to go to a galaxy far, far away is specifically what he says.
Yep.
I'm going to a galaxy far, far away. And then they fight. Because he just gets on an X-Wing and bolts with the crystal. And she's like, no, I'm going to force grab it. And she rips it out of the X-Wing. And then they have a fight.
On top of a Star Destroyer.
On top of a Star Destroyer.
Which I don't know why people are freaking out. That's normal for Star Wars. They have no idea how space works.
I don't understand. You need the atmosphere? And I'm like, did you not see Empire?
Right?
Did you?
I'm trying to think, like, I don't think that we ever see, like, a spacesuit in any Star Wars thing.
Not that I can remember.
They,
and we definitely
they
have,
just don't exist.
We definitely have examples of them going into a space.
Yeah, they go into the vacuum. It doesn't affect them.
Yeah. And that's even ignoring The Last Jedi, where that super happens.
Yeah, and, they fight, and she's like, okay, we're going to reference like every single thing in Star Wars in the span of 10 minutes. And Twink Luke Skywalker wins the fight and takes the crystal.
It's really hard to tell if this is the one done by Maishi, right? You can't even tell.
You can't tell. It's impossible to tell that this was made by the same person who directed Panty and Stocking and Kill la Kill and Premiere.
You know, I have to say, congratulations, Feel. You did a much longer synopsis than I would have. I would have said they got a Star Wars Premiere / Kill la Kill, because it is just fucking that. It's real strong. Even just the outfit on the female twin has a strong Kill la Kill energy to death skirt. Like
popping out with like the faux Grievous arms is like another thing that's very similar to Kill la Kill, where you could just see a character be like, yeah, I have six arms with swords.
Yeah. I like it because it seems like a very convincing, like really good looking short that you're like, maybe it is a trigger. And then they take off the mask and you go, wow. It goes all in on those designs where it's like, oh yeah, this is exactly what this is.
I don't know what you're talking about. No one else would be like, what's their big device for this? We taped two Star Destroyers together.
Oh no, I was dying. I was like, yeah, you sure did come up with this. Paste them together with a gun. The weakness, the gun.
Also, it is absolutely the most fucking trigger thing to just have a character go, even if I explained it to you, you wouldn't understand, so let's fight.
Yes.
And I'm like, yeah.
I just meant the idea of an average person watching this going, this isn't like hyper, like super anime. And then they take off the mask and it's the most trigger anime shit ever.
Yeah.
Yeah, it really is. Which is quite the contrast to the later trigger short we will be watching. Which is not Promare.
Also, the conclusion to this is the funniest shit I've ever seen.
It is really good.
They're like, what if we did the Last Jedi thing where they crash at life speed, but we made it even dumber and cooler?
Yep. I'm a fan of that.
Where it's like, I'm just going to fucking focus everything into my lightsaber and cut this entire thing in half. But it doesn't cut my sister in half, but it at least cuts the crystal out of her tits.
That's because his control of the Force is that strong.
Yeah.
That in that fraction of a second, he can move the length of the lightsaber.
I like that his lightsaber is like this rainbow color, like pastel thing. It's really, it's like white, but you can see the other colors bleed out of white. It's really neat.
It's like very Promare core, where it's like almost like a brighter version of like Leo's fire.
I'm shocked Abrams didn't think to have someone use a lightsaber on top of a vehicle flying past something else.
Yeah, he's not brave.
When he's like, yeah, we're going to use the hyperdrive in the lightsaber. I was like, yeah, that's pretty good. I clapped.
Yeah.
It's also nice that this is happening in a situation, in a show, which is fun and silly, and it feels fitting here. It doesn't feel fitting in The Last
doesn't
Jedi.
Doesn't make every other space battle in the actual movie seem stupid.
Yeah. It doesn't make the main focus of that movie seem stupid.
Yeah. I'm glad that movie has opened that of, okay, in the official movies for the rest of eternity, we have established you can ram something at light speed into something else. Now everyone gets to have fun.
Yeah.
I'm shocked that, once again, that the third fucking movie, that trilogy, didn't go, yeah, we're going to need to do that with lightsabers. like, that seems, that movie is that stupid.
Yeah,
right?
I'm surprised they didn't up the ante to be like, okay, this fleet of ships is going to ram to a planet to destroy
it. I know, right? It's like, hey, he's on that fucking planet. Get him! That would have been incredible. And everyone would have been like, what am I watching?
No, they won't be like that until Palpatine's using his Force lightning to stop it.
And make a dubstep.
Man, no, he uses Force hurricane. Forms a storm that keeps them out.
Man, this new Emperor Palpatine's crazy. He just keeps making every ship hyperspace inside the core of every planet on in the galaxy.
Anyway, for the twins, yeah, I would watch a series based on this. I would definitely watch a movie based on this.
Yeah.
It was really good. I really liked how extreme as fuck it was and how very insanely Kill la Kill and Pro Mare it was. I enjoyed it immensely. Bob?
Yeah, of course. Absolutely. Would definitely watch a full series of them doing this insanity. And it even has a hook in to be like, okay, yeah, he can go looking for his sister and that could be a whole series.
KZ.
Yes, because look at it.
And Mr. Feel.
Yeah, I'd watch a series. I would hope it would be a little bit less derivative than this short was, but that's fine because it's a short. Like, I as long as they aren't quoting the original trilogy every two lines. But I need Trigger Palpatine. Like, I need to see their version of Palpatine.
Is he young?
I feel like it would be Ragyo, but even more crackheaded than that.
Moving on to the fourth Star Wars vision, we have The Village Bride, made by Kinema Citrus. Bob, do we know anything about the studio? Do you know what else they've made?
Yeah, they made Maiden the Abyss, Rising of the Shield Hero, and Show by Rock. Maiden the Abyss was really good, visually especially.
That's cool. I'm going to do that. I'm going to get this out of the way up front. You know what? Wait, I'll wait until after the synopsis. Hey, Bob.
Oh, okay.
Can you try to give us a brief synopsis of The Village Bride?
The Village Bride is about a village of people living on a mysterious planet where they have a connection to the planet and like view its memories and care a lot about the traditions of it. But they're being invaded by a group of bandits who have captured old Episode 1 robots.
Mm-hmm. Yes, battle droids.
Yeah, battle
and
droids.
And reprogrammed them to obey them. They didn't reprogram them to be super geniuses.
No, they're still the same old idiots.
No, that's impossible.
Literally impossible.
I would never want them to be capable.
These things run on Raspberry Pis. Like, these are not future computers.
Yeah, we made a droid army. There's a reason we had the switch.
Fucking R2 Ascension. These things are fucking so-called free thinkers.
These things run on micro USB.
Hey, the Clone Wars cartoon makes them very sentient, but you're still supposed to laugh when they get brutally killed.
And I will.
Roger, dead.
Yeah, that Yep.
Yeah, I think this show is pretty neat. It had a very interesting art style.
The pacing of it, and I'm not sure if it was longer than the other ones or it just felt like it because the pacing was very slow.
Mm-hmm.
For some reason made me think if this was a series, the pacing would be slightly slower and it would just remind me a lot of Zammed. So that's the Weeaboots bingo game right there. I said Zammed.
There you go.
We're the only people who talk about anime who will ever bring that up. Yeah, it was very interesting seeing them slowly establish the planet and the nature of it and getting this outside perspective before getting into the shit.
Yeah, I guess that the other part of it is there's a group of like two mysterious figures who are observing this village and then intervene at the end.
Mm-hmm. I don't think the plot for this one is especially strong, but I do find the setting very interesting, and I would like this explored more as a short by itself. It's kind of just, it's all right. I thought it was pretty good. KZ, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I really liked this one. I feel like the slower pace of them building it out made it feel like when it went through the whole thing, it didn't feel like they had to rush through it. I felt like it felt like the most complete out of a lot of these, especially compared to some of the later ones, where I just went like, yeah, I feel satisfied with this, where some of them it's like, all right, it has to end now.
I was sitting there, I was like, what thing did we watch around the same time that really, really rushed its plot? Oh, I can't talk about that on this podcast. I have to talk about that on another podcast, and we can't even let Phil know that happened until that other podcast.
Oh, fuck.
Oh, man. Which big thing to mention is that going to be 139? Yeah, okay. So if you're curious, go watch that. but yeah, I do like the pacing of this. I do like how it builds it out. I think the art style is pretty nice. I don't think any of the characters are especially strong or interesting, but it is really funny to get that that terrorist general or whatever. His performance was hilarious to me. Where he's just like, no, what? People who have lightsabers, fuck! Like, he thought this was a buy one, get one free.
Right.
His coupon was expired. It's a very good moment from him.
This is also another time where they're like, yeah, the only thing anybody remembers is holding the bolt with the force.
Mm-hmm.
That's all you get from that whole trilogy of movies.
I think that the stuff they had the Jedi for this one do was really neat. Like, she had the shoes that let her propel herself super fast.
Yeah.
And they made her lightsaber very just, it's a katana.
Yes.
Yeah, I really like F's design in general in this.
I didn't even catch her name.
It's just F. It's just the letter F.
Okay.
I liked the older dude there that we thought sounded like the Belmont from the fucking Castlevania anime, where he had a hat that just launched into their ship.
Yes.
And it had just a bunch of fucking gas or something in it that just exploded.
Yeah, I'm like, dude, you wore a helmet full of jet fuel and an explosive? You're the bravest motherfucker in the world.
Yeah, he's just casual about it. Also, they had Emmy Evans, the vocalist behind the Nier series, doing some of the music for this, which was immediately evident, like, a few seconds in, where I'm like, oh, that's... Why does this just sound exactly like those games?
I thought it was pretty interesting that the art style had an almost, like... Some of the characters had a really Pokemon animated series, like, the later seasons sort of look to them. I really liked it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I feel like one of the most interesting angles on this is, in fact, the vocal track. Because it just keeps coming in and out basically throughout the short, and it is really cool just to get that.
Yeah, well, like you were saying, the characters are weak in general. I think that especially like the villagers, we don't get enough to make them feel real. But the music really sells it. And then the visuals also hammered in, and the idea of the village that has this connection to the land is very cool.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, Bob, would you watch more of this if they made a series?
Yeah, because I imagine it would be F going around, and it'd be almost like Kino's Journey, where she's just encountering bizarre things in the Star Wars universe. Like, that's really cool to me.
That would be really cool. KZ?
Yeah, absolutely. This is probably my favorite from this set, so I would absolutely want to see more of this.
Mr. Feel?
Yeah. No, I mean, I just like, Bob is right. Like, I want the weird wandering samurai finding crazy things in the Star Wars universe.
I think I'd put this up there with the band one, where I'm going to give it a couple more episodes, like if they did make it, to just be like, okay, what is this series? Is this something I'm interested in?
That's true, because you don't really know what it is from this.
Yes.
Like, because there isn't a, like, what I said is my best hopes.
Right, and that would be ideal. But yeah, I think this is really neat, and it's definitely, I think, in the better half of these. I think it's a pretty solid entry into the Star Wars visions. Next is The Ninth Jedi.
Ooh.
Which I didn't remember that it has a title like that, and that title actually, how do I put this? The title brings to mind some sort of suspenseful action American movie where it's just a standoff, yeah. And I'm like, man, that's a really fitting title for this one.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, the Ninth Jedi is talking about how, does anyone, Juro, right?
Yeah, Juro.
Margrave Juro is making kyber crystals in order to craft lightsabers and bring the Jedi back into power. So he's contacted Jedi throughout the galaxy in order to meet up at a spot so he can dispense them among them to hopefully fight the Sith.
Yeah.
It's a very suspenseful moment as all these characters, none of them know who the others are all meeting up there at the... I guess you would call it a satellite of the planet.
Yeah.
They call it a temple.
It's a temple satellite of the planet. Because technically, even the moon's a satellite.
It's a space colony satellite temple.
It's a...
Keep adding on. Keep piling on more onto your McGriddle of words.
Celestial body colon, everything Bob said.
Yes.
It's very cool. You get some planet side stuff between the child and Margrave Juro. It's very interesting to explore that and the refining of the kyber crystal as you wait up in the satellite of love, waiting for whoever, you know, we're waiting for a shoe to drop.
You can't forget that the main character's name is Ethan.
Gonna wait, but yes, the main character's name is Ethan, and I could not stop finding that hilarious.
Toast started breaking down halfway through.
Yeah,
she stopped being able to cope with the fact that we have this Jedi named Ethan,
and then I start talking about the legendary Sith Gerald.
But yeah, it's pretty cool, very suspenseful. You get good moments throughout it, and nice action set pieces with implied murder off screen.
they do a really good
They had two murders on screen that were fucking brutal.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, they did. Jesus.
Dude gets sliced in half. Another dude gets burst into flames. That was good.
Yes. Kill.
That felt really strong.
I like the plot detail in this where they went, all these lightsabers we made, if you turn it on, it will change color based on what you're like force-wise.
Yes.
I think that's a Disney thing that they started doing in the Disney version of the EU.
Huh.
Which I'm like, okay, that gave us the coolest shot in this where the guy force pulls the lightsaber away and it bleeds from red to green in his hand.
I mean,
that's fucking raw.
I really like the little kid's lightsaber where it's like a transparent.
Yeah.
And because she's not strong in the force.
She could change the length of it. I'm like, this is real neat stuff.
Uh-huh.
Also, there was the implication of like she's not strong with the force or has necessary a super strong alignment.
Mm-hmm.
So the thought it didn't have a distinct color, I'm like, yo, this would have been a really great way to introduce Anakin.
Yeah.
Just like, what a cool concept. Whoa. Just this idea of like this person who's like, oh, they're not affiliated with the force necessarily. Their aptitude with it is questionable. Like, what a cool thing to embody in this lightsaber. So that is a really cool element of this short.
Yeah, I liked it slowly becoming green as she fought Sith, getting powerful.
Yeah, she was doing infamous morality.
Yeah, the twist of your main guy, one of the main people, Ethan, pulling out the one lightsaber they had before the rest were delivered. It's like, oh, it's blue. That's great. And then in the climax where the six other ones that are just around him turn them on and they're all red. And I'm like, I did not actually see this coming. That's a little fucked.
See, the funny thing is everyone in that room, I entertained being a Sith. I never would have assumed it was literally everyone in that room.
I think that's what they expected people to think.
Yeah, I was like, Jesus Christ, they're fucked.
You're like, which one's going to be the one? And then it's like almost all of them. One of them, I guess, was brainwashed because all the other ones were stinky.
The finding out that this is done by the Ghost in the Shell TV series guy, Kenji Kamiyama, really makes sense.
Oh, yeah. This is the most production IG ass looking thing.
Not just that, just the pacing of this is super good. Like, this is probably my favorite.
It is excellent.
It nails so many things. It has really great action two times in this little short.
Oh, yeah. Between the chase where the girl's desperately trying to get these lightsabers to these Jedi, and then the actual fight that happens in the satellite temple moon space colony with an egg on it.
Yeah, this does definitely have standalone complex vibes.
Yeah.
You can tell it comes from a space of, we're going to set up intrigue here and action there. And eventually all of this will become action in one spot, like an explosive combination. It's really good.
Juro reveals that he has been inside the butler robot the entire time and starts murking people immediately.
The butler robot was really cool because he's like big, black, looks like he could be this. And it's just to sit talking in ways that make you everything feel very uncertain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's great.
And then you hit the end of this and they say, we made a pilot. This is the most blatant we made a pilot there is in this entire set. We are a group. We're now going to go on a journey. Would you like
to
watch
more? There's one other one that's as much of a pilot as this, but this one is very obviously a pilot.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hey, Bob.
Hey, what's up?
Would you recommend...
Of course!
Okay, great. Hey, KZ, would you say you would watch a series of this / recommend this?
Yes, I'd like a 26 episodes, and then maybe a couple years later, I'd like a second gig of it as well.
Yes, that would be cool. Mr. Feel...
Yes, of course. Give me.
This was excellent. This is probably my favorite.
Being production IG really makes me sold on. Yeah, no, they're gonna do this. Like they are the ones most known for. Yeah, we get series done.
Yeah. Yeah, they're gonna get this shit did.
Yeah, like they did some Netflix original shit. Like no problem, just. All Disney has to do is say yes, and they're like, sure, we'll churn this out in like a year.
Yeah, I feel like there's a really good likelihood of a bunch of these getting a series, because I imagine Disney looks at the prices and is like, what? This is fucking nothing compared to the shows we make. Sure.
Yeah.
We have to make things that are slightly less expensive than a film, or we could make three of these.
You could make every single one of these into a 12-episode series and probably come out spending less money than Loki.
Especially if some of them kept the same amount of apparent budget.
So we're going to move on to T-O-B-1. T-O-B-1.
Stop that.
That's why he's named that. But halfway through, they call him Toby, and that's cute. Bob?
Yeah, what's up?
Have you watched Steven Universe?
Yes, I have, actually.
Just a completely random question. Anyways, hey, Bob.
I've also seen Astro Boy.
Oh, that's cool. What's that?
Well, you can watch this short, and then you kind of get it.
I was talking halfway through this about, man, someone out there is watching this and goes, he looks like Mega Man. That's weird.
Yeah, no. So if you haven't seen Astro Boy, it's also very Mega Man. There you go.
Why does that guy look like Dr. Light? I don't understand.
I'm Dr. Light. I have no arms.
This is the one that had the casting decision that made me black out because Toby is Goku. It's Masako Nozawa doing Kid Goku.
That's really weird that they didn't get Shemmel to voice for the U.S. That would have fit, right, guys?
Yeah, he does his British voice, too.
It sounds really bad because he refuses to come in to record.
Yes.
Oh man. Toby won. Yeah, I don't, you could say it's very Astro Boy and you got 90% of the plot there. I don't know.
Yeah, this is like an even more extreme version of the twins where it's like, this is neat, but it can't exist beyond being like a 15-minute long short. Like, you can't expand this.
You could expand it to maybe a 20 or 22-minute short that's actually done.
Yeah, the audio design in this one is insane. I spent half of it just going, man, that's weird. Man, that's weird. We get halfway through, there's a giant impact with no sound, and I go, okay, yeah, that's not done.
There are numerous in that back half where just sound effects aren't actually happening, so I can't read any impact anywhere. And sometimes they just do hard jump cuts to things, and then you kind of come out confused of, how did you get here with this to the degree that it just felt like this one came in way too hot?
Yeah, absolutely. I haven't really seen an anime with audio design this bad.
Yes.
Yeah, it's weird because I think a lot of the visuals look really nice in this one.
Yeah,
they do.
When it breaks down near the end, it's sad because the rest of it's been so good. Mm. But yeah, that was just... I was trying to think maybe they're trying to make it seem surreal, but no, it's just bad audio design. It's rough.
It shows you how important audio design and like sound effects are to anything. That when some of them are absent, you're like, this just feels
wrong.
Alien.
Yeah, absolutely. And this isn't, they had sound effects, but they weren't mixed in a way that sounds really good. This is, they were missing sounds, like they went to render and a WAV file went missing.
It's like you'll hear energy sound effects of like a lightsaber, and then this person gets punched, and there's no sound to that punch
at all.
But they're flying over there through that punch, and I'm like, were they hit? It becomes this thing where I start forgetting what's happening.
But for anyone who doesn't know what Astro Boy is, I will briefly summarize. Dr. Light creates a robot called Toby, T-O-B-1. They seem to be living on this planet trying to bring life to it.
Mm-hmm.
Because there is no life there except for the little robot buddies that they all made for Astro Boy here. T-Obi-Wan is so excited hearing about the Jedi and stuff that he wants to become a Jedi, and he turns on the ship, and turning on the Doctor's ship signals a Sith who apparently, an Inquisitor, right?
Yeah.
An Inquisitor who's just hanging out somewhere nearby. Inquisitor lands, the Doctor hides T-Obi-Wan and gets murdered.
We're joking T-Obi-Wan, about the Doctor being Luke.
Yes, we made a lot of jokes about this, Luke.
Yeah, the Doctor just being a powerful Jedi that just has no arms.
So he gets murdered. T-Obi-Wan emerges eventually and finds a grave made for the Doctor. It's like, who made this?
Yeah, like...
I guess the other robot? I don't know.
I guess some of the other tiny robots made this.
Yeah. Except they show no scene of any other robot being around until he starts to rebuild all of them. But that's just another list of things. You gonna explain any of this at all? Like, visually?
And then T-Obi-Wan searches for the Force, tries to feel it out, eventually gets in a fight with the Sith, and then it ends. And I feel like I've done a good job describing this half-made thing.
Yeah. I think the idea of a droid that can use the Force is really neat.
Oh, it's incredible. I would love to explore that.
Yeah.
I sat there and I was like, someone out there is like, you can't have a robot use the Force. And it's like, do we want to talk about Grievous? And it's like, no, that's different. He's an android.
Well, yeah, Grievous is just a dude with mechanical parts.
He's mostly metal by now, but it's fine. He still has a heart, maybe.
Yeah, he still has a heart and lungs.
Well, Grievous doesn't have the Force at all.
That too.
He was just a robot.
So wait, why does his lightsabers...
He just stole those lightsabers.
Oh, you don't need Force to use a lightsaber.
Yeah, like Han Solo uses
a
lightsaber.
Maybe in the Disney continuity, but not in the original ones at all.
I still keep thinking about Star Wars, but instead of lightsabers, it's guns.
Yeah, you kept talking about it, and then they gave him a gun.
And then they go, here, kid, here's a gun.
But yeah, I think that the only explanation for why nobody else uses a lightsaber is it just is too wantonly dangerous.
Yeah, unless you have super senses to not cut your own arm off.
Right.
It's really dangerous.
Hmm. Okay.
Also, it's just like a sword. It doesn't really do anything for you unless you have the super senses to block lasers.
Fair enough. I'm gonna go ahead and start. This is rough. I wouldn't really recommend people watch it. It has interesting visuals, sure. But this is so rough. Even if they made a hypothetical series of this, I'm like, I feel like you're just cruising for a filler episode. Because they'll need to catch up. It's going to be the Clerks cartoon joke. Episode 2 is going to be the clip show.
Oh my God.
Where they're like, remember all these great times in episode 1? Bob, what are your thoughts? Do you recommend this? Would you watch a series of this?
I would still recommend this, even if with its rough patches. I think that the concepts are interesting enough to want to see it. As far as watching a series based on it, I have a hard time, like, in my head thinking of what that would be. So I would, just out of pure curiosity, be like, what do you do from this?
KZ.
I recommend people at least, like, watch it, because it's a fairly short, but I wouldn't be into a series of this, because they didn't even finish the pilot.
And Mr. Feel.
This one is, like, even more derivative than the twins were, where it's like, what would I get out of this being a series? Would I get, like, vaguely Star Wars-skinned Astro Boy? I don't really think that's something I especially need, so no, probably not.
Yeah, it's not especially compelling. We forgot to note who made this. It's Science Saru. You said that was the Azogen people, Bob?
Yeah, there's Azogen, Space Dandy, and Devilman Crybaby.
Yeah, and the director of this literally worked on Steven Universe as an animator, I think.
I actually had no idea. I just immediately called that out.
Yeah.
I had no fucking clue.
They also worked on Wakfu and Adventure Time, and which I think this looks most like Wakfu.
Yeah, that's fair.
And then they directed some episodes of OKKO, Let's Be Heroes.
Oh, cool. Great. Man, I should have made a bet that this had something to do with Steven. Because
yeah.
I said that in the opening minute.
Yep.
Anyway, we're going to move on to The Elder, which is the other short made by Trigger.
Dan, I want to take this one.
Yeah, I was going to throw it to you. Go ahead, my man.
All right, so the basic story of this one is... There's a Jedi Master and his Padawan. They go onto a planet to solve some problems. That turns out there's an old Sith there that they have to fight in the mountains. The true story of this is that a Trigger C team had to make something that didn't move, and it basically didn't move for the majority of it, and also had no story or characters in it.
When Phil wrote down that this is the director of Turning Girls, I had to go look that up. It's an ONA that they did that's on the same budget level as, like, Inferno Cop and stuff.
Yeah, that was the only thing they directed. Other stuff, they directed very few small amounts of episodes on this.
At least when Inferno Cop doesn't move, it's funny because, you know, you look at that. Here it's, wow, they sure do keep cutting to Dan and Dan's master just saying words and... stretching this out because, boy, can they not fill.
Yeah.
Yeah, I even...
This feels like it had an opening and then nothing and a climax. None of which moved, but it feels like there was a middle chunk that was deleted from this episode.
Yeah, I would have been more down for it if they didn't even find the Elder. Like, I'd be okay if it was kind of boring and slow and literally nothing happened.
Yes, the fact that something tried to happen effectively, like, really torpedoed it to where I'm like, this is just bad all around, like, top to bottom.
Yeah, I mean, the action sequence isn't exactly great.
Oh, it's...
Yeah.
Easily, I think it's the worst action.
It's like, hi, I'm a Padawan, I'm gonna fight you, okay, I'll own you in 4 seconds.
I'll do you on one move. We're gonna animate it like you were cut in half, but apparently all you have to do is hold your side and you're perfectly fine.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, he has little baby lightsabers. They're not real.
It's true.
Yeah, he's old, and when you get old, you're weak, and then I'll become old and I'll become weak, and we need a moral or something. I don't know.
That was a really weird moral to shove in when it's like, wasn't the whole idea with the Force that the age doesn't matter that much? Like,
it
Yoda's
is
still still all-powerful?
Maybe it does matter when it comes to swinging a lightsaber.
Palpatine.
Hey, we never see 30-year-old Chad Palpatine. He might have been a beast.
He might have been like end of Bleach, end of Naruto powerful, just doing the most insane, stupid bullshit.
He might have been like the Terranort version of Palpatine.
Yeah, that's fair. When we got to the moral part of the Elder, I'm like, you know, you get weaker when you get older. And then there's an awkward pause where nothing's being said. And I'm like, so this was about something. Anyways, we need to end this now.
Yeah, like, I like the idea of, like, this is, imagine episode one. If instead of Obi-Wan and Qui-Gon going to something that was important, it was something not important at all. And we just saw random things of that.
Yeah, I liked that angle of it, and I also liked the angle of, like, oh, the Master's kind of like if Qui-Gon Jinn wasn't a drunk.
Yes!
Jeez.
Yeah, I think that that's a cool angle, but this short sucks.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I was just like...
Yeah.
Like, none of your good staff, any of them were involved in this.
It's like
crazy.
It's funny because the writing in it reminds me of the absolute dregs of the prequel trilogy dialogue. Not like the part that where the dialogue's good, because occasionally the dialogue is good in the prequel trilogy. This just reminds me of, we are now going to talk about what has happened in the driest tone, and we will now go do the thing in our spaceship. And I'm like...
Yeah, like we're saying, it's the most prequel energy of any of these.
So they set up a trade block with a blockade.
Yes. I'm just like... Ah! Yeah, maybe we're about a third of the way in, and you're like, this is the driest thing they've put out so far.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, it was so fucking dry.
Where it's just, yeah, they're just exposing dialogue, which I'm like, this would make sense if this is a 50-episode anime, and they needed one where nothing was going to happen.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of these other ones do, not all of them, but a lot of these other ones do a really good job of having characters express things in a very characterized manner.
Yeah.
Whereas this just, they read the script. There it is on the ground.
Yeah, like no one, not even random villagers, felt like they had a character at all.
Yeah.
Like everyone is just monotone speaking.
I'm fine with extended conversations in a short like this if you're going to like have them be really expressive and I can get a character out of them besides, I took an Ambien.
Yeah, even the Ninth Jedi has a ton of dialogue in it.
Like this, the next one we're going to talk about also has a decent amount of conversing in it, but the characters are actually like arguing and expressing character.
Yeah, you get their perspectives very well through their dialogue.
Yes.
Yeah, the closest thing we get in this is where Dan is like, I'm back, rambunctious youth. It's like,
you are very eager,
okay.
Dan.
Yeah, the Master and Padawan this feel almost like a if George Lucas hadn't been asleep writing episode one, where it's like, oh, these are sort of like how Obi-Wan and Qui-Gon should have been, maybe, but still not developed at all.
Yeah. Hey, Bob.
Hey.
Would you watch a series based on this?
No.
Oh, okay. KZ?
When I was writing up my scores for all of these, I forgot we watched this one last night. It was that much of a void. No.
Feel?
Not based on what they gave me, no.
Okay. Yeah, absolutely fucking not. I need dialogue to not just feel like filler. The dialogue here is so dry, and they had so few characters, too, that speak. You know, I think it's literally three. It's just the Master, the Padawan, and the Sith.
Yeah, I don't even know if the villagers actually talk.
Yeah, he walked off and talked to the villagers for the audience.
The other ones were kids like, ha, and then the Padawan winks.
And then he does the other wink, and they're a huge fan of that.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, no, not unlike me. I am not a fan of this. We're now going to head off to Lop and Ocho, which I couldn't get over Star Wars having a character named Ocho.
It's very funny.
Have you ever heard the tale of Darth Nueve the Wise?
And meanwhile, I'm just thinking of ESPN 8, The Ocho.
The Ocho.
Of course.
Bob, this is made by Geno Studio. Do you know anything about Geno Studio?
They did Golden Kamuy. That show is really good. Everyone should watch it.
Okay.
It doesn't look that great, though. So I'm surprised this looks as good as it does.
Yeah, this looks pretty strong.
Yeah, apparently one of the main people behind this did the storyboards, main animation, designs. And like, there was one person that did most of this. And
wow.
To like give it its distinct look.
Hmm. I guess for the synopsis, we will go to Feel. Feel, would you like to synopsize briefly Lop and Ocho?
Interesting.
Okay,
choice.
So you have a planet that's like Japanese planet, and the Empire show up and are very, very explicitly like an allegory for American occupation after World War II.
Absolutely not. What are you talking about?
What are you talking about? Anime isn't political.
Never. I was kind of fucking stunned that Disney didn't look at this and go, no.
Yeah, I'm glad Feel and I are thousands of miles apart and just having the same thought of what?
Yeah, don't worry. No executive that watched this understood it. They're like, there's a rabbit in this one.
So
she's mad quirky, yo.
So some of the citizens of this world are like, yeah, the Empire's good. They're gonna like, we weren't part of the Empire. I mean, we weren't part of the Republic, but they're gonna like advance us. Cut to factories spewing out smog and slaves. one of the noble families are like, maybe they're like also kind of like the Yakuza, I guess. Save this rabbit alien girl named Lop from slavery and adopt her. And then there is a conflict between the father and his actual daughter over whether or not they should support the Empire, with the father not supporting them and the daughter supporting them. And they split apart as the daughter goes and sides with the Empire, and then he gives Lop a lightsaber and she becomes a rabbit Jedi, and a bunch of people I don't like on the internet get really mad at this short.
Oh, I actually didn't know about that at all. I just really appreciate the part where he's like, my other daughter's a bitch. This is yours now.
Yeah, and then the daughter starts hard coping, going, that's mine! I'm next in line!
Like, wait a second, I was supposed to get that, and she's like, yeah, well, you're a bitch, and I love you.
You're a bitch, and you took away your dad's only other working eye.
Time to get owned.
I really enjoyed this one. I thought it looked really, really great. Mm-hmm. I really loved like the visual design of the city. Like I always really like it. Okay, we're fusing like 40s and 50s occupation Japan with like cyberpunk almost. I guess it would be like the Japanese version of like diesel punk.
Yeah, that makes sense.
It looks really neat. And I really liked like a lot of things, like how fucking evil the Empire dude looked.
Oh, yes!
Yeah. Oh, yeah, no, that was good.
He's like, I have black eyeshadow on so you can know how evil I am.
Was that guy Michael Sinterklaas or was that someone else?
I'm now looking that up because it fucked me up.
I'm pretty sure it was Kyle McCarley that did fucking 9S in Nier Automata.
Oh, okay.
It's funny when feels like he has eyeshadow on so you know how evil he is. And I was like, oh, I thought he was trying to tell me he's a fuckboy.
It can be both.
Yeah, every guy in the, like, are you going to tell me that What is this fucking name? Colonel Hux from the sequels isn't the fuckboy? That dude looks like a rat.
That dude has a YouTube channel. That was great. I like what they did to like the filters or the compositing to try and make this look like a cell animated thing where you're just kind of watching a movie and it just kind of has an older vibe. It wasn't as aggressive as like, say, a Megalobox or something, but I did enjoy that. That general style they were going for mm-hmm. it.
Yeah. I appreciate they didn't go full Destiny with chromatic aberration.
That's bad, yeah.
Yes, but I do wish the subs were yellow just like Destiny.
I wish Zavala showed up.
God, so do I. What if the dad was Zavala?
Oh,
if I just
Lance
Reddick.
That would be way too much to do.
This short was already good. Then it'd be great.
Yes, I liked this one quite a bit. The action was good. The story was really solid, and how they built out like this is the sword we passed down. And then it's just a literal lightsaber sword. All the ones that just decide that, yes, it's blade shaped and not lightsaber shaped. I'm an especially big fan of. The only part I feel like stumbles is the very end, where it's just like, you did a cool X cut on Ocho, and then now she's on top of a ship. She's leaving its own. Where it kind of feels like
green light us.
Get the series, please.
I'll get you next time, Ocho.
it shuffles off a little too fast for me, so it comes off like it doesn't come off perfectly cleanly.
Mm-hmm.
But aside from that, I like this one. It's probably like my second or third favorite from this set.
Yeah, that was Lopin Ocho is yet another one where I'm just like, you really come off as a green light pitch.
Yeah, this is the second most one.
Yes.
Yeah, this is the one. Yeah, this is like the one the most after the Ninth Jedi.
It's pretty cool because you get a little bit of everything in this one. You know, you get to see the planet, establish how cities look at an inner level. You know, she's running down the streets at points. It's very, very neat. I appreciate this. Because it really does cover every base, everything you would want from it. And then ends with a, I'll get you next time, Ocho. And I you know, I'm a big fan of anything that ends so brazenly.
Yes.
Yeah.
Really, it gives you way more bang for the buck than you expect from a short.
Like, yeah.
Just how many things it hits. It even is able, we didn't even cover it. They do a time jump in there.
Yes.
Like we meet
7 years.
Lop when she's like 12.
Yeah, and she's got the slave like
collar. Yeah.
Yeah, the slave collar on
with evil red lights.
Yeah, evil red lights. That's like, no, don't go and get in the Ava. Don't do that.
Overall, I'm a big fan of this one. I would definitely recommend watching it, and I think it would be really great if we could get a series out of this, Bob.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. It's probably my second favorite.
KZ.
Yeah, I would absolutely like more of this.
And Feel.
This is like the one I want to get a series the most.
I really appreciate when your villain transformation is I'm going to chop off my hair and then make myself bleed to make makeup.
Yeah, that shit's raw.
Yeah, I was like, man, that was quick.
Yep.
You're like, I can make myself a fascist in 5 minutes.
We now move on to Akakiri from Science Saru. Bob, you know what? I'll summarize.
Go
this.
For it.
From the people that brought you the Tezuka looking one, Toby One.
Yeah,
another one that isn't done.
Akakiri is a very, very how do you say? It's very minimalist in its story. Basically, we find a Jedi. He gets hurt fighting off people.
Atmospheric.
Yes, atmospheric. And what you basically watch is this journey as the princess takes this Jedi they found that was fighting people, where they have a background history and story you get to hear about. They travel the countryside to move back to the capital in order to defend against the evil Sith relative.
Uh-huh.
And then they do some stuff at the end and go, deep, isn't it?
Where it's like, oh man, he goes crazy for a moment, accidentally kills this princess, and the Sith's like, hey, bring, you can bring her back with Sith magic. I did. Okay, you're my apprentice now. This is a sad ending.
It's,
goodbye.
It's like the most reductive Greek tragedy writing I've ever seen.
And they're like, don't ask questions. Our instruments are loud.
All of these do really crazy stuff with Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is the only thing that upset me of like, no, the Sith, if they actually have that power, that feel like that changes everything. They always just say they have it and never do it. So then it's pulling it out like, yeah, we can bring people back to life. It's like, well, that, wait a second. So are you actually...
Are you Darth Plagueis the Wise?
is this just something you guys can do? Because if so, you probably... should have actually done it instead of just acting like you could for decades.
Yeah, it's like a step too far, because like the Mandalorian and the new star, the fucking Rise of Skywalker, both introduce force healing, where they're like, we can actually like heal people with the force. None of those are, they're dead.
Right.
We can just fully do that.
Which I guess it's, overall, it's not too bad. It's just, in this setting... where it tries to be serious and dramatic, it becomes like,
when there's 50 seconds left.
Yeah, it's just really weird. And then for some reason, he is now enslaved to this lady that's the evil Sith Lord. It's like, but you healed her. Why would you to do anything now? Why would you not just
immediately betray? Promised he would. Promised he would.
Oh, no.
He knelt before Monster Mash and pledged allegiance to the Great Dark
Side. he's like, I can't attempt to fight you back because then my head will hurt and then I'll fall into a music video again.
They really should have put this one before the last one and had it end on the last one.
Yes.
Yeah, I would have preferred if they just kind of watch him and go, let's end on a good one.
Yeah, because I feel like the one they chose to open with is perfect. Like, I think that's a great opener.
Yeah, I feel like you can be like, La Pinocho is like the most far out anime-y one, so you make that one the last one. And then this is just nothing.
I think this one does have a really neat art style.
Yeah.
Like, the faces are very strange. They remind me of a game I played earlier this year. I can't remember the name of it. It's published by Devolver Digital, though. Mm. And also, it's from Japan, but from a French artist.
Mm.
And I'm like, I wonder if that's a similar situation as this.
Yeah, they did some really good like far shots in this of them like traveling, or when they're traveling through the castle, it's like a very zoomed out shot with them like going through rooms and stuff. And I also liked the use of music in it, where I'm like, these are kind of carrying this a lot more than the actual story or events.
Yeah, I definitely like the landscapes. I like the traveling. I like birds.
They have chocobos. Like,
yes, they do.
I enjoy the two like guides they have.
Yes.
Like the journey there, the journey to the capital is
shit.
Is kind of fun because these two guides are just like really silly.
Mm.
And it's interesting. Then they get to the capital, and it's like, this is kind of a bad fight scene and really boring story.
Yeah, it's, as I said, the most reductive. Yo, Greek tragedy, you ever hear of that?
Yeah, it really is just that directly.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. It's really unfortunate.
Is it also weird that at the beginning of the short, I was going to call him a samurai, but the Jedi, he's being attacked by this group of people and they get scared off by someone who shoots arrows at them. But they make it look as if a bunch of arrows are being shot at them, and then it seems like only the princess has a bow, and the other two were just kind of looking.
Well, yeah, that was her ult.
Yeah.
It was strange. I was like, well, does she have like a group? No, it's just
no.
These two.
No, it's just
and they just
two.
Said they didn't fight?
Yep.
What happened?
That was all her.
Yeah, it just comes off as weird.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. That made no sense. But yeah. It's a real shame that all the cool vibes that come from the traveling and those two characters and all that are just kind of ruined by the story writing.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, they put this one last, so we got to talk about it last. I don't know. I probably wouldn't watch more of this. I really like the visuals were neat to look at, but I don't need 26 episodes of that or 13 to look at in order to. Like, I got my fill here. I'm good. I don't need to stare at the princess with neither a chin nor a neck any longer. Bob?
Yeah, I don't think I need any more of this. Not with this manner of writing.
KZ?
No, this wasn't even a pilot. This is just a thing. It's over. Leave me alone.
Mr. Feel.
No.
It's really unfortunate. I was digging it for the first third, I think. Maybe even the first half, just that much of it. And then it's just like...
Yeah, it takes them a while to actually get in there.
Mm-hmm. Anyways, that's Star Wars Visions. Feeling pretty good about it overall, Bob?
Yeah, I was going to say, I think this is the highest hitting of any of these compilations of Western IP got animes made.
Yes, because the comparisons are what? That Batman one and Animatrix?
Yeah, Animatrix. They did one for Dead Space and for... God, what is that? Dante's Inferno, I think, even got one.
Yeah, I forgot to watch those.
Did Halo get one?
Yeah, Halo got one, too.
Halo got one.
Yeah, and this is like 80% good stuff. Those were like maybe 50, 40.
If you're lucky?
Yeah. So I'm really positive on this. I think it's worth watching through all of them just to know.
Yeah. I agree. I think this was pretty great. I think it's a shame they don't have like a home release of it.
Yes, I would.
You know.
Yeah.
The way I like to watch these sort of things where the art style's, you know, key to what I'm enjoying here.
Yeah.
Give me the 4K Blu-ray.
I would say, yeah, it's the best one of those animated things. However, I do think there's a slight detriment here, okay?
Okay.
And this is gonna be the part where Star Wars fans listening to Weeaboots get upset. I think the Animatrix was slightly more interesting because the plot in the Matrix and the story stuff you could do at that point in time is infinitely more interesting than Star Wars now. You can tell good stories in Star Wars. None of these had any impact on the overall lore of it.
No.
Except for the one that upset us, where it's just like, yo, the Sith can actually do that?
I don't know. I conceptually, you could do stuff with Matrix. It's cool, but I feel like there's only one or two of those that I was like, yeah, this is actually cool. And the rest were just like, man, you sure did a thing.
I think there were story elements in those that actually did affect the world building of the Matrix.
Yeah, and I think that's why I like this more of it. It doesn't matter about the overall thing of it. It's just, it's its own. It gets to be its own identity.
It's fucking Star Wars. No matter what you do, you're throwing a coin into the ocean.
Yeah, right.
That's how it feels anyways, unless you're like, and this is what happened to Luke. Which,
yes.
Oh man, that would have been weird.
That would have been great.
KZ, how do you feel on this collection?
Overall, I really liked it. There are some that were particularly strong. There's only two that I'm like, this one's unfinished and this one's bad. The rest of them, I was either like, okay, to really, really liking. I wish they would do another set of these, of bringing in more studios, because clearly they doubled up on a couple of them. So I just want them to bring in Sunrise so they can do something with starfighters and ships and mechs and stuff. I feel like that's something that they didn't do too much of in this that I feel like they could do now that they made 8 episodes about Kyber crystals.
Kyber crystals are very cool.
They are very cool. And as it turns out, all of them went, no one does Kyber crystals in the media, Star Wars. We should do it.
Good luck finding a single Japanese animation studio who's like, no, we're getting Star Wars and we're not making lightsabers.
Are you stupid? Of course. Absolutely. I don't blame any of them. They're like, of course, we're going to fucking make it about Jedi and Sith.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. The Kyber crystal thing's really fucking cool.
I thought it was funny, where it was just like, yeah, there it is.
I was kind of fucking shocked that none of the movies went into that heavily.
Yeah, even the very Last Order, it was like, yeah, that's cool. Let's do it. Fallen Order. Sorry, Jesus.
Yeah, go into that mine and just start grabbing
Last
them.
Last Order is what Palpatine says his thing is in Rise of Skywalker.
The Final Order.
God. Oh, that's right. God.
So, Mr. Feel about this collection.
I really liked it. I think they should do a second season and give like 3 or 4 of these money to do, you know, 6 to 12 episodes.
Yeah, this is our new Oh Yeah cartoons. They're just every now and again, they're going to do a bunch of pilots based on how they're received, make a series.
That's great.
That would be great.
That'd be really exciting. And it's just like, the La Pinocho one got the first one greenlit because it had the highest amount of engagement, which effectively gave it a 50 episode show for some reason.
I'm gonna be honest, when certain people said that people online are mad about La Pinocho, all I could think about was the Sith resurrecting the person in the ninth one. I'm like, really? You're a Star Wars fan?
Oh no, no! They're much more mad about a furry being there.
That's so fucking
like,
stupid.
That's insane.
Yeah,
it's like Chewbacca's stand right there. Come on, guys.
Chewbacca's not a furry.
Yeah, he's like a golem thing.
I'm thinking of every time. It's like Chewbacca's not furry. Yeah. I swear, I'm fucking crying.
Yeah, they really need to greenlight these. I think it's worth noting that Loki was $25 million an episode, and The Mandalorian is $100 million a season. So I think they could spend like half that and get a couple good shows.
Yeah, that's fair. And I really hope they do that. That would probably boost the signups for Disney Plus pretty heavily.
Is it really 25 million an episode?
Oh, yeah, of course.
That's what they reported for
Holy
Loki.
Holy shit. Dude, that show, six episodes, that's $150 million.
That show stars, what was it, Owen Wilson?
Yeah, Owen Wilson. Loki. And Tom Hiddleston.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Fucking, of course it costs 25 million.
Yeah, episode. Yeah. My brain went, yeah, this is the one that looked the best.
It did, yeah.
You know, I'm signed up for Disney Plus. I gotta go watch Loki. It's apparently $25 million an episode. It must be really good.
It's got Owen Wilson in there. He doesn't say wow, but he says at one point, how?
How?
And I fucking cried.
Yeah, it cost twice as much as Jupiter's Legacy, that show nobody watched.
Stop talking about it.
I can't. When I go to Netflix, there was like a month where it was like, please, please watch Jupiter's Legacy. We spent $12 million an episode on this and no one knows what it is.
The theme song for Weeaboots is Android by Luckash. You can find a link to go buy it on iTunes or Bandcamp in the description below. If you'd like to support podcasts like these, then consider becoming a podlord over on patreon.com/gbpodcasts.